be the power of the gift. And how many knows what the gift is? It's Jesus. And Christmas is here year round, you know, because this time, people coming up on this time, they celebrate family, and I'm not against getting together and all that, and family, but a lot of them is about gifts, and for the world, it's about making money. That's why they advertise all the gifts all year long after Thanksgiving, right before. They want you to have that fur coat and get it for your mama and your daddy and buy 10 of them for your brothers and sisters. They are enticing you to spend money. So Christmas is a lot of things to a lot of people. And to some families, you know, and at Christmas is the family get-togethers and dad and mom and all of that getting together. Jesus ain't got nothing to do with it. Then one of those members dies, it kind of just drifts apart and falls apart. But when it's Jesus, when Jesus is the center of Christmas, when Jesus is the main thing, then that right there, Christmas, is always special, because we really, December the 25th is not the birth of Jesus. That's just when we Christians celebrate his birth, really. I mean, that's not even when he was born. Hallelujah. But that's okay. That's when we choose. And over the years, you know, Saint Nick, whoever he was, Saint Nick, was it? Yeah. That was Santa Claus, you know. Over the years, the world has worked him around to so much till the church has tried to replace Jesus. Replace him. Because that time of the year, if you go look at it, I mean, that's where the gifts and things come in. And that's where they brought in the tree, the Christmas tree. I'm not against the Christmas tree, just not in here. This is the sanctuary. This is church. This is not a gathering to where we come to be social and you know, come to, you know, I'm not talking about no churches. That's none of my business. Now, other churches, do what you want to. That's not, but here, I'm going to keep this place. I mean, if it was left up to folk that have come here and left, you know, we'd have a black Jesus, we'd have a Hispanic Jesus on the wall, man. I mean, we would have a long-haired Jesus like Mac, and we would have a short-haired like Johnny. Well, we're creating the image and likeness of God, so Johnny's like, well, Jesus looks like me. Then Mac could say, nah, Jesus looks like me. He had long hair. Read your Bible. But God said, those that worship me in spirit and truth. Not on that on the wall that gives me an image of him, what color he is or all of that. I told him the other day, we was up there working, I said, you know, I said, one of them said, well, I'm white. I said, no, you're a mixed breed. Now that don't, some folk don't like that act, you know, because we think of old Sooner dogs, different things, you know. And he looked at me, you know. And I said, well, now, what I mean by that is, I said, I was pretty upset when I found out that Jesus was not white. I thought he was a white man all them years. And then I found out, I said, after I got born again, that Jesus was not, he was a Jew. He was a different color. I said, that kind of upset me. I said, there is no way Jesus is not white. I said, you know, I said, and I guarantee you down the line somewhere, I said, you're not all white. I said, just like me. I said, I've got Indian in me. I'm not just white. I've got Irish and Indian, and God knows whatever else they decided to do down the line. I don't know. But in the Lord, see, this is the power of the gift. The Bible says that because of the gift Jesus, old things pass away. And behold, all things become new, and all things are of God. Well, then there's one guy standing over there, and he said, I know one thing that changed it all. He said, we might be black, white, red, brown, yellow, whatever we are, but we all bleed red. He said, everybody's blood red. I said, yeah, and the Bible declares that life is in the blood. That's why Jesus shed his blood. Give me that Isaiah, please, Beth. Isaiah 9. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now Isaiah is seeing this. Isaiah don't even know what he's seeing. But he's seeing this. Isaiah's seeing this and Isaiah's prophesying this. This is way before Jesus ever showed up. He's seen this mighty God manifest in Jesus in a vision. And he was seeing what was to come. He was seeing that the government is going to be, that, you know, government represents strength and structure. He's a counselor. Jesus, this is the gift that is coming to us and for us to establish the government of the kingdom. See, the kingdom, the Bible says, know ye not that the kingdom is in you. See, Jesus brought this structure. Jesus brought and done away with, just like we gleam on the scripture where it says he daily loads up with us up with benefits, even the God of our salvation. See, back then in that covenant, they had to do yearly sin sacrifices of killing goats and offerings and burning incense and different things in the temple that they had to do, that the blessing. That's why he told them in Deuteronomy 28, he said, if you will hearken, if you'll obey me, if you'll do what I say, all these blessings will come on you and overtake you. But if you don't, all these curses will, and hemorrhoids and all inflammation, arthritis, you can find it all under the curse in Deuteronomy 28. That is why I said Christ has redeemed us, according to Galatians 3:13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of Deuteronomy 28. See, that's the power of the gift. That is why he wants, Satan would, the world would like him out of our attention on this time of the year and on to Santa Claus or gifts. Or I told that young man, I said, I'm going to give you some money that you can go buy them kids some Christmas. We'd go down there at Dollar General, get them about five or six. I said, my granddaughter don't dislike one. I said, just buy them four or five. Wrap them up four or five where they can get excited to get to the next gift. I said, just, but it's not about the gifts. I said, see, our heart has to be in a place to where the Jesus is the reason that we have joy. How many knows this gift brought joy and peace to all mankind? Hallelujah. And you know, people that don't have money to get the gifts all that they want to for the, they get oppressed in this season. They get down in this season. They don't enjoy getting together with people. They get under oppression. Why? Because they are missing what this season is really about. It is the gift that brings power of peace and joy. This is a sad time of the year for many. Sad time of the year. Mama's gone. Daddy's gone. Brother's gone. Sister's gone. And all of that stuff. For some, this is a sad time of the year. But for the ones that recognize the gift, even though it is real, their family members have gone. The families are into it. They don't gather the way they used to. Things are not turning out the way they want. There is those like me and you that have our confidence and our trust in this gift, Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and we will go through this season with the joy of the Lord. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. And if I were you and I was feeling all down and oppressed, I would put me on some praise and worship. I've been playing that song here, Just Keep On Holding On. Keith Moore, I've been praying it here when we come into church. I'm doing it for a reason. It says, hold on, hold on. It won't be too long till your faith turns to sight. Hold on, just hold on. Sounds like a song. Well, yeah. No, it's more than a song. It's biblical. Hold on to your faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Don't quit. Hold on. Just a little while, it'll be all right. Won't be long till your faith turns to sight. You know, that is a Spirit-inspired song. I'm going through right now, you know. I mean, I'm going through right now. I mean, all I want is this church full. And it could sadden me. Where's everybody at? Then somebody comes in and tries to disrupt the service. Drag half the people. Get their attention everywhere. Blah, 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 blah. No! I've got my confidence in the power of the gift. No weapons formed against us will prosper. No weapons formed against me will prosper. No weapons formed against you will prosper. See, this is the power the gift came. All of the daily loading up with benefits, even the God of our salvation. You ain't had to kill one goat. You ain't had to sacrifice one lamb. You ain't had to come over here and burn incense all around, you know, and shed blood. So that sins it. No. Why? Because Jesus, the gift, the power of that gift was a one-time sacrifice for all our sins. Past, present, and future. That's the power of this gift. That's his government. He said that of this government there will be no end. We're in a time where God, if they're trying to get God out of everything, even the churches, the government is. They want God out of everything. And they're the one that's puppeted and manipulated by people and don't want to offend people. And everybody ought to have rights. Yes, we do. I agree with it. But I have the right to serve Jesus. I have the right not to marry people, two women together. I have the right not to marry two men together. I have that right. Now, don't force your right on me. Y'all go live like you want to. See what I'm saying? And I'm going to rely in the power of this gift. I'm going to rely on the power that's been given to us to stand in right standing with God based on the scripture, not judging anyone. For a man to tell me that they're gay, I'll tell them, no, you're deceived. Well, I just feel that way. Well, you don't know Jesus. You're liable to feel like a woman. You're liable to feel like you love a man. You're liable to feel like you want to kill somebody. That's how come the prisons are full, Mac. That's how come we all went to jail for drugs. We felt like partying. We felt like live our own life. Does that, you know, we felt like. There's Christians that can't get down here sometimes, even been Christians a long time, that can understand the struggles of people on heroin. They don't know how to help them. Why? Because we got to rely on the power of the gift. The Apostle Paul, he said, I come not in demonstration of man and of man's wisdom, but in power and demonstration of the power of God, of the Word of God, in power and demonstration. Paul wasn't dependent on himself. That's how come multitudes got born again with these guys. These guys got born again in a time, I mean, they were getting beheaded and all that, preaching this Jesus, thrown in prison. I mean, you know, and they boldly. Paul said it this way. He said, I follow after that I have been apprehended of. John 3:16, the gift says that this is the gift. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe on him should not perish but have everlasting. That's amazing. That this one man supernaturally, see, man can't comprehend salvation without the Spirit of God. That's why Aubrey, Jesus is not real. She couldn't see him, Johnny. That makes common sense. How can I believe in somebody I can't see? Well, she can't, not without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has to make Jesus real. The Holy Spirit has to empower. And give me that John 1, Beth, please. John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Whoever believes on his name. Here we see the gift. Jesus came and gave us power to become sons and daughters. That's a miracle. I mean, that is amazing. Hallelujah. I mean, you know, kind of like this. Read why I say that. Okay. I own my own business house for a long time. I've been in business a long time. And nobody has authority to pick up the phone and order any doors for Blunt but me. I mean, anybody can call and say, who are you? You know, we don't recognize you. Well, I'm so-and-so. And well, you'll have to have Scotty to call me. You know, we can't do that. Why? They don't have authority. They do not have the power to order doors. Well, Travis didn't have it. I wouldn't more pay no attention to him than man to me. So I picked up the phone and I called up there and I said, Travis Weston, I said, add him to it. I said, that's my son. I said, and whatever he says, that's the way it's going to be. Just add him to, if he needs to talk to y'all to straighten things out, whatever, he can handle matters for me. Whatever it is, he's me. And it give him, oh, this is Travis with a blunt overhead door. Now, it shouldn't have made him that way. Mac, calm down over there a little bit. You know, this is Travis, blunt overhead door. I got a problem down in here. Oh, he's bold, you know. What happened? He went from nothing, he went from no authority to do anything to the power to order, to ship back, to cancel. I mean, he went to that kind of, that's what this is for me and you. Bless God, he give us power to cast out devils. He give us power to tread and kill poverty and lack. He give us power to stay married for 30 or 40, 50 years. He give us power to come out of debt. He give us power to come out of hatred and anger. And he give us power. This gift came and give us power, power over the devil. I mean, I hear Christians all the time, and I'm not downing them. Oh, the devil, I mean, the devil's working in my grandkids. The devil, the devil, the devil. I hear it all the time. You know, they're convinced that they don't have power. They don't know what they got, or if they do know what they've got, they've never embraced it and received it and submitted to the authority. Now, Travis knows there's certain lines he won't cross. He never uses my debit card, ever. Don't abuse your authority. He don't take it on himself to spend my money, ever. He has all my money, Mac. My son has access to all my money. Well, not all of it. But a certain he's not going to have access to. He might kill somebody with it. But see, we've been given this gift, the power of the gift of Jesus brought salvation, brought and broke down that wall. Well, let me get on. I'm getting ahead of myself. Give me that. Luke 4:8. I skipped it, didn't I? Whatever it is, 4:18, you're right. The Spirit of the Lord, now he, Jesus, did Isaiah prophesied this. This come out of Isaiah, that Jesus opened the scroll when he got here and he come in to the place of his ministry. He didn't start his ministry until he was 30 years old. Jesus was 30. And he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. Jesus, this is in red letter here. But this came out of Isaiah. Isaiah seen this. He seen it. And it's wrote in Isaiah way before Jesus came. See, this gift, Jesus, the power of this gift has been set in motion all the way back to Genesis. The Bible said, how do I know that? Because the Bible says that Jesus was slain before the foundation of the earth. He was a lamb slain before the foundation of the earth. He was already predestined to come to this earth because God knew that he was going to need redemption for us, for mankind, because we would give authority, and Adam gave authority to Satan. And many Christians today give authority to Satan to keep them in poverty. I just can't afford. We just can't afford. My job, if I could get, you got to get off of all of that confession of what you see and feel in the natural and say, but my God will supply. If I need above, he'll supply. If eggs goes up, let God all buy eggs. If gas goes up, God will increase. The kingdom, there shall be no end. We read it. Of his government and kingdom there shall be no end. Now, Jesus said, great things did I do, but greater things that you'll do because I send to the Father, right? So if the Spirit of the Lord was on him, he's in us. He was on Jesus, but he's in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. If he anointed Jesus, then we're anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. We're anointed to heal the brokenhearted. We're anointed to preach deliverance to the captives. The recovering of sight to the blind. And set to liberty them that are bruised. We are anointed for this. This gift brought this to us. See, my words was bringing healing to that young man. I didn't even know it. I wasn't trying to, Johnny. I didn't even know it. Caused him not to borrow it for Christmas and caused God to bring supply to him. Because he chose to believe what I was saying. God did it for me, and he'll do it for me. I was preaching the gospel. I didn't even realize it. You are. Well, I don't feel anointed. That's not what the Bible says. He said, don't see if you feel anointed. Don't see if you qualify. He said, the Lord told me whenever I felt like I was called to preach. See, that's the gift came to me. The gift set me free from racism. It set me free from jealousy, which is based out of fear. It set me free. It set me free from a lot of stuff. It set me free from poverty, from lack. It set me free from oppression. It's been a long time since I've been sad. Why would I want to be sad? You have to choose to be sad. But no, I just don't feel good. What you been thinking about before you felt? Don't feel good. What was you thinking about right before you don't feel too good? Huh? Oh, I know. You watch the news. That's a good one. Meditating on wrong stuff. Told Travis... We was talking about my mom, dad's grave. I think I've been to my dad's grave about maybe five times. He's been dead nearly 30 years. Maybe five times. I went to my mom's a couple of times, and I'm not against going over there. But they're not in there. You can take that vault out of there. You can take that coffin. I'm talking about mine. I don't know about yours, but my family, according to the Bible, returns back to dust. Right? So I can pull that out of there, and right there's going to be a pile of my daddy's bones and my brother's bones and my mama's bones and a pile of my papa's bones and his and my mama's bones. They're going to be in there, and some dust maybe. That's all that's going to be in that box. Why do I say that? Because my daddy, my mama, my uncles, my aunts, my brother, they left here when their spirit came out of that car or that body, vehicle. They left. They're no more on this planet. The ones that were born again, see, this gift brought this peace and assurance to me. You know, my sister, she said, I go talk to Dad all the time. I said, what'd he say? Did he answer you? Going to the grave, talk to Dad. What'd he say? Mac, he didn't say nothing. He's not there. Well, I'm going to talk to Mom. Well, go talk to Mom. But Mom ain't in that grave. Mom ain't in there. How many knows Jesus ain't in the manger? Jesus ain't in that tomb no more. Jesus ain't on that cross no more. He's not a baby in the manger. He's not a man that's crucified right now on the cross. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I have that assurance that the Bible says that all of them in my family that was born again, which gives me comfort. That's the power of this gift. If I let it work, whenever I let it work, it says to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And then that gives me peace, hallelujah, that I can enjoy this gift, Jesus, right here, that personally knew them. I mean, Jesus knew all of our kinfolk. He talked to them. He knew how they thought. He knew everything about them. We've been anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. We've been anointed. This church is anointed. You are anointed to teach God's people how to prosper. You are. Well, I'm not very prosperous. I'm good. That's why you're chosen. He's not calling the qualified. The Bible says that God uses the foolish things of this world to confound the. He chooses the ones that people would not choose and anoints them and puts His power in them and equips them, and their reliance is on Him, and they know without Him they're nothing. Hallelujah. Give me that Ephesians, Beth, please. No. Give me a. Luke 4:18. We done read that one? Okay, yeah. Give me the Ephesians 2. It says, for through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Here's what He done. Here comes this gift. We didn't have access to God like we do right now until Jesus came. Until Jesus came and He tore all that down. He said, for through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. Go ahead. In whom all the building fitly joined together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord. In whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Hallelujah. That's a big deal right there. That's what this gift done through Him. Because of Him. We've accepted the power of the... Why would we even have to wonder why Satan don't want us acknowledging Jesus through this season? He wants us sad about what we ain't got, sad about what we could have. He wants us down and depressed, hallelujah, about how we feel our bodies. You know, he wants, but you know, this gift brings healing. The Bible says that He sent His word and healed them. He said He is anointed to heal the brokenhearted. And that's what I'm trying to do today. My sister, she said, well, you know, you're making me feel bad telling me that I don't need to go be talking to Dad over there. I said, I didn't tell you don't go talk to him. I just asked you what he said. I said, I didn't ask you. Well, you don't even go over there. I said, well, don't get mad at me because I don't go over there. I said, he ain't there, man. I said, I can go make a grave look pretty for all of y'all. And then y'all gripe because they don't get the flowers off in time. Right? I go over there and put pretty flowers on earth, somebody goes steal them. Now I'm sad. Sad because they stole my flowers off of my daddy's grave. Why, he'd turn over in his grave if he knew that. Well, he can't. If he's born again, he's in heaven right now. He's with God. He could care less about that grave and those flowers. He's in the presence of Almighty God. I mean, his thoughts are like God. He knows what God thinks. She knows what God thinks. They communicate. I mean, they know it all now. Hallelujah. All right, give me that John 1. But as many, I didn't quote this, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And you know what? When I started realizing that I'm a son of God, and what sons have, Travis, I mean, he has everything I've got. I mean, if he's alien to me and gonna do me wrong and all that, he'll be cut off. Same way with God. If I'll follow the Lord and I'll believe God, and I mean, he'll not leave me or forsake me. Heard it in Sunday school over there. But if I want to separate myself, I can from this power. I can separate myself out of ignorance or whatever the case may be of the power of the gift of the Son of God. And I can limit God. I can limit God. He says, as many as receive. When I begin to realize, the Bible says that we are heirs and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Everything his is mine. I've got several vehicles, you know, and he knows. He won't do it without asking me, but he knows he can go use anything I've got. And he can drive anything I've got. He knows that. He knows I don't mind, you know, but I don't believe he would abuse my stuff. And we've been given greater ability because this kingdom is supernatural and vast, man. I mean, there's wells of wisdom that we've not tapped into that this son Jesus brought to us. Give me that Acts 1, Beth, please. Now, Jesus told them, go tarry up in Jerusalem. That happened in, I think, Acts chapter 8, whenever the Holy Spirit come and they had went and did what Jesus told them to do. But here he says, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witness unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and in the othermost parts of the earth. He said, but you will receive. I mean, look what he told them here. And they couldn't get it until Jesus left. But he told them, he said, I won't leave you comfortless. He said, I'm going to send back the comforter. The one, the paraclete. Comforter means paraclete. He'll walk with you, walk beside you. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. See, the gift brought this power to the body of Christ. He brought it and give us the ability. He said right here, after that the Holy Ghost will come, and you'll be my witnesses of what? I mean, he taught them a lot in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He taught them love your enemies, didn't he? He taught them in there, you know, judge not and you'll be not judged. He taught them in there, forgive so your heavenly Father forgive you. All the things that Jesus relayed to them after the Holy Ghost comes on him, you're going to be my witnesses. You're going to witness to my death, burial, and resurrection. But you're also going to be witness to my power. You're going to be witness. He said, you're going to cast out devils. The Bible tells us in Mark 16:17, these signs shall follow them that believe. You might think you've got no ministry. Said in your living room, sweetheart, if you're born again, and your ministry can work right out of your living room, because there is no distance in the power of prayer and confession and release of faith. Hallelujah. There's no power. There's no limit in the power that's been given us. Jesus is down here and he says, Father, I pray that it be done on earth as it is in heaven. I mean, that is awesome that we have an avenue through him to straight to God. I mean, straight to God. The book of Revelation, there was flames coming up before the altar, and it says it was the prayers of the saints. I mean, like flames coming up around the altar of God. And it says that it is the prayer. It's me and you. It's all those that's talking to God. And you know, the more that I walk with God, the more that I try to let my heart be real with Him. When I'm laying there confessing over my body, or I'm laying there meditating on the Word of God, I'm not doing it in a religious fashion. I mean, I'm laying there, like David said, and let our heart commune with the Lord. So don't you go through this season sad. If you've lost sisters and brothers and nephews, I mean, they just buried one of my cousins the other day, well, a month or two ago, you know. I mean, there's a lot of things in my family, but I'm not going to let that season get me oppressed, because there is an oppressor. There's satanic forces out there that are trying to oppress. If you don't feel good, get up and do something about it. Instead of laying around meditating on whatever's got you oppressed, hallelujah. You know, I hope I put enough word in this that y'all, if I was to leave here, y'all don't get oppressed. Y'all start praising God and saying, God, who's next, Lord, to lead us, Lord, and begin to follow the Lord and seek the Lord, and praise God that I finished my course and went on to heaven. I hope that I've put enough in Travis to where it won't devastate his life if something happens to me and Mom. That he's been preached this word and he don't really know he's going to need it. He knows up here. But how many knows there's a difference in having a head knowledge of something you need when you get in that storm? See, Jesus had told all the disciples over there, you know, taught them how to speak to the storm and all of that stuff, or, you know, confession and all of that. Then they get in a storm, and then they wake Jesus up. Jesus is asleep in the hinder part of the boat. See, this is the power that this gift brought us, that we can speak to those mountains. We can speak to our finances. We can speak to our bodies. Not what they feel, not what it looks like. I know and convinced that I am not broke today, paid everything off. I've still got plenty, and there's plenty more coming, because I'm saying it every day, every week, for years, praise God, that I don't lack anything, Lord. I'm going to be really rich before I leave here. What's he going to do with all that money? Who knows? I might leave a chunk to you. I won't have no need of it when I leave here, will I? I didn't bring nothing here, and I can't. Bradley ministering, see, following the Lord over the years, you know, and he'd pray for people and go to the hospitals and different things, you know, for the people and different things, and he started finding out that they left him inheritances. One of them put him over their whole estate and said, you get 20% when it sells. Man, he began to clean that place up and get her ready. One of them left him $10,000. I think he went and visited them one time. Oh, 10 grand. Dude, I'll go to your house. Y'all just let me know. Well, see, it don't work that way. We follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that our gifts will make room for us and put us before great men. The gifts and well, I ain't got no gift. Yeah, you do. He's in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that man, whether you like it or not, is anointed to preach the gospel. That one's anointed to heal us. That one's anointed to open. That one's anointed to invite people to church. That one in you, if you're born again, he wants people in the kingdom. He wants people walking in the kingdom. He wants people. That man in you. Now, I don't want to invite to church here, because I know, you know, it's going to be Pampers for 2 years. They've been over there pampered and babied and, you know, and all of that. And I mean, they get a broke toenail and they whine. And I mean, somebody will get their parking spot out there. Brother Scotty, I'm parking there. And Johnny got it. He thinks he's got to park out front. You don't think that happens? It does, Mac. But I don't let the reality stop the gift. Lord, I know that you can anoint me to walk with them year after year, Lord. I know Jesus did. People that were ignorant. Now the religious, like they came in here one time and coming from another church, Mac, on Sunday night. They like the preaching and the anointing here and all that stuff, you know. And so they start coming on Sunday night. They hear about it, start coming on Sunday night. And so one comes, you know, and brings, I don't know, 10, 3, 4, 5, 7. I don't know how many. Then this other woman comes that had been acquainted with them at another church that had some problems. And so this one woman, she says, that didn't come. And look, this woman literally looked like a witch. She had long black hair. And I mean, when she put her makeup on, maybe she couldn't see good or something. I mean, it smeared all over her face, you know. And all she lacked was a broom, and it would have been like you would see on TV, you know. She just really looked that way, you know. And so anyways, that other one come to me, and she says, I need to talk to you, please. And got me by the collar and drug, and didn't drag me, but led me out on the corner out there, out on the porch out there. And she said, she can't come to church here. I was coming here first. This is my church. She's got to leave. I looked at her and I said, well, I didn't know. I said, this church don't belong to you. I said, this ain't even my church. I said, I tell you what. I said, I know what. Now, here comes the gift. That's what I'm saying. I've heard people quitting church because they said it's just a cycle. You'll get them out of diapers and you'll get them up there and then they'll go back to Pampers again, so to speak, you know. Babies. Other ones come in. I told her, I said, no. I said, I didn't tell you what. I said, y'all said you felt like the Lord wanted you here on Sunday night. I said, and she feels like the Lord's led her too here. I said, what it is, I said, God's brought y'all down here to get y'all straightened out. Praise God's what he's done. I said, now, the Bible tells you to love your brother, love one another. I said, God's brought you in here for me to help y'all get straightened out. I said, now, best thing for you to do, if anybody is going to leave, it's going to be you. I said, but you don't have to leave either. I said, you just march yourself right in there to your sister and you hug her neck and y'all get to worshiping God together. They did. For a while, that worked. Well, you know what? I was able to minister to that woman. You know, come to find out, that woman that looked like a witch, she had been abused and beat by men for years. Really beat. Not just, you know, a little spat around the table. One of her sons blowed his brains out in her house. You know, the mental... I would have probably not been insane if I'd have been through a quarter of what this woman had been through and then kicked out of church. Had a reputation around these parts. I was down, this woman was walking down through the street, lived down here somewhere. Going down through there. Now I'm talking about this gift. I'm not just talking about my experience. This gift, Jesus, that's seeing me and you. And it's not to destroy people, it is to bring them out and help them get delivered. Well, anyways, there's two pastors of this church up here, and I thought, yeah, praise God. I believe she was demon-possessed, Donnie. And I thought, praise God, one puts 1,000 to flight, two puts 10,000. So I pulled up her in front of the church, and I said, look, God, I said that woman right yonder, I said, and they knew her. I didn't know they knew her. But I'm thinking, we're going to get her free, man. You got three pastors down in here. And so... I pulled in her to the church and I said, hey man, I said, this woman right here, I said, I believe the Lord's brought her into my gates, you know, and I believe she's demon possessed. I said, y'all got any anointing oil in the church? Oh yeah, we got some. I said, well, when she gets up here, let's take her in. I said, let's take her in there. And I said, let's get her. Oh no, she can't come in our church. No, 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 Mr. Weston. We ain't having nothing to do with her at all. Y'all scared of her or something? No, man, what's wrong with y'all? I'm supposed to be preachers. You're supposed to, don't you know we're supposed to be casting out devils? We supposed to be laying hands. Y'all go, you know what Bible y'all got? No wonder I'm not popular down here with some of these preachers. I didn't mean to, man. You know, Matt, nearly called you Johnny. I didn't mean to get unpopular, but you know what? Jesus wasn't popular everywhere either. The religious didn't want Jesus because they wasn't getting no glory. They wasn't getting no, you know, it seemed that Jesus would come on the scene and take it. That's how come some folk, I told somebody the other day, I told them, I said, you know, they said, well, you get on that person's nerves right there a little bit. And I said, could it possibly be that my right standing with the Lord messes with their demons? See, some people get upset with you really for no reason. It could be your heart and your right standing with the Lord is messing with their demons, with their unbelief. See, if we're going to walk in the power that this gift brought us, Jesus, I'm telling you, we're going to have authority on this earth. We're going to walk in victory over sickness and disease. We're going to pray for people and they're going to be raised up. We're going to command things to happen and it's going to be done. We just heard the scripture in Sunday school. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you of my Father. The thing we need, the thing that we do, though, we stay close to the Lord, that the desires that we're asking Him is of Him. It's the Spirit of God, like coming out of debt. It is God's will that you be out of debt. It's God's will that you put chunks into the kingdom of God. I mean, we could use about a $30,000 camera right now. If we go any higher than this little Facebook thing that we're doing right here and go on TV, our camera's going to be $30,000. Why don't you just go ahead and ask God if He wants you to pay it? Oh, I'm coming to join you, Elizabeth. $30,000? Oh, are you serious? For what? A camera. For what? To go on TV. I don't like them TV preachers. You're the ones going to have to pay for it. You're the very one God's going to make pay for it. Now, I'm not telling you the Lord's told me that. But if we go any higher, Mac, it's going to take big money. We released our faith, I don't know how many years ago, for a new building. You've been laying up, haven't you? My nest egg. This is my nest egg. Oh, yes, Jesus, I feel more secure than ever, Lord. I've got $10,000 saved up, Lord. And the Lord's going to meet, like you're going to lay there one night, and He's going to say, give it to the church. You're going to say, oh, God, that devil. That devil, I ain't been you tuned in to what he, how did Scotty say, fight him now? How did he say it? He told me to give it all one time, Mac. He told me to give everything his church had one time. I said, Lord, we need everything. He said, I know it. He said, I can't get it to you. He said, if you got a need, plant a seed. He said, I done taught you that. And so I went to all the ones that had been here a while, and I said, the Lord said to give it all. Give all we got to that ministry over yonder. And they said, well, we believe you hear from the Lord, so let's just do it. So I gave it all, everything we had. We had a light bill to you. We had a water bill to you. We had, we had a lot. You know, we needed some money here. And so we give it all. Then the Lord told me, He said, go to a Hispanic service. Most of you done heard the story, and I'm going to close with it. Go to a Hispanic service over here, you know, Hispanic church. So I went over there to that Hispanic church. This is this gift leading me. Jesus, he'll lead you by His Spirit into uncharted waters at times. I go over there, and I knew Iglesia, you know. I mean, I knew just a few words, and they sang in some of the music that I could dance to that I knew, but I couldn't sing it because I couldn't understand it. But I knew the Spirit. So I'm there, boy, and I'm just worshiping God. And they're like, you handle it, yeah. You know, and I'm like, ooh, they got the language kicking in here too, man. You know, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm thinking, God, why have you got me here? Says down, the dude preaches. I don't understand nothing he's saying. Absolutely nothing that man's saying. I sat through that whole church service. And I got out to my phone in the truck, and I picked it up, and I had a message. at the time that I was in there in obedience to the Lord, not understanding why I was in that Hispanic service, I can't understand nothing, I got a phone call. This church was in a meeting, and they were in a board meeting, and they felt like that they had to give to increase, and the Spirit of God spoke to them and said, I want you to give this church, give that church $3,000. So where y'all at? I didn't really say that. I wanted to say, where y'all at, man? You got the check ready? Come on, man. I'm coming after it. But you know what? We didn't have no carpet or nothing, no heat and cooling systems in this. We had just, by faith, built all of this back to here. The church actually started back under. And we had a youth night service, and this place was slam packed. Standing around the walls, and youth getting saved and all that. We replaced that with Halloween. That's why I don't pumpkin carve here. I don't turn that. Halloween is about the end of the year, giving God thanks for the harvest that He's brought us all year long and goodness that He's done to us. Hallelujah. I know. I don't know nothing about y'all, but God's not into pumpkin carving and Halloween, and He's not into all of that stuff. He's into His people rejoicing at the end of the year and giving Him praise and glory and honor for the harvest. Hallelujah. Well, you know what? We bought the carpet. I tied the $3,000. I tied it. We bought the carpet and had the carpet put down and all of that, you know. What I'm saying is, this, the power of the gift of God will lead you into the promises of God. So I want to encourage you, you know. The gift, Jesus, he brought us all of these things so that we could have fellowship with God and walk through with victory. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. And Lord, we thank you this morning. We thank you.